So we're on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, and we got up to Tnan, which is at the end of the second of the wide lines. Tnan. Now, the Gemara is raising another objection to the Shita of Rabbah based on our Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses, if you recall, sitting on the offshoots of the trunk of a tree and whether those offshoots have the status of an ilan with the Iser Hanah that you're not allowed to benefit and sit on the tree. And the Mishnah says, Shroshav Gvoim min ha'aretz shlosha tfachim, if the roots of the tree rise up from the ground, three tfachim, so you don't apply lavud, lo yeshiv aleya, you're not allowed to sit on those offshoots. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. What's the Mishnah telling me that I wouldn't have known without the Mishnah? Hechi domi. If idlo hadri kaife, unless you're going to tell me that these stumps or these offshoots bend down, in other words, they like we said, they go down and up again, meaning they climb up to a height of above three tefachim and then they go down again, is pshita. Why would I entertain a possibility of allowing and being lenient about enjoying the benefit of something that is above three tefachim? It's an ilan for sure. Ela lav, it makes more sense to assume afal gav de hadre kaife, that these roots that shoot out after they climb above three tefachim, they bend down, they go down nichfafim, we call it in Hebrew, within three tefachim. And the Tana wants to tell us that you're not allowed to sit on any of the segments of these roots, even the segments that dip down below three tefachim. And that would support Rav Sheshes against Rabbah. Gemara says, Lo, li olam de lo hadri kaife. The Mishnah is not addressing the case where after it went up above three tefachim, it rolls down below three tefachim. For Hakamashman, if you ask me what the chiddush of the Mishnah is, afal gav de tzido echad shava la'aretz. Imagine you have a situation where the roots are different on different sides. On one side, the root is on surface level, meaning it's at the level of the karka itself. And on the other side, it is above the level of the kosel. I have a picture of it here in my Gemara. So it's shavah la'aretz, which would mean that it's not an ilan, but only on one side. Shakarka mitzad zeh ola keneged ha'shoresh b'samuch elav. So it's like the karka itself, so to speak, rises up on one side to be equal to the height of the shoresh, to reach the height of the shoresh of this root. Nevertheless, the Mishnah wants to tell you, you're not allowed to sit on this root, even though one side is samach lekarka, because the other side is above three tefachim. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, sharshe ilan shegvo min ha'aretz shlosha tefachim. So the roots climb above three tefachim for the karka. Oh, sheyesh chalal tachteim of shlosha tefachim. If you have an open airspace below the shroshim, which has the height of three tefachim, is afal pishet tzido echad shavah la'aretz, even if on one side it reaches, or shall we say the ground reaches the level of that shoresh, but it's only on one side, is hareza lo yeshev aleihem, lefi she'ein olim be'ilon, v'ein nitlim bilam ein nishanu bilam. Those are three expressions or applications of the Iser Hanah min ha'ilan that's prohibited min Rabbanan on Shabbos or Yontif. And the Bryce is telling me that even if it's Shavah la'aretz on one side, but nevertheless, it rises above three tefachim on the other side. And once again, I have a little bit of a diagram here in which he has a a tree, and there are roots of the tree that shoot out. And what they do is they hit up against a chalal. There's some sort of open airspace in the ground. And what it happens is the following, that the root itself goes straight into this chalal on the top. You know, in other words, it's like it climbs the, so to speak, or extends through the surface level of the ground from one side of the chalal to the other side of the chalal. But if you look at the root from the chalal, from this, you know, ditch or empty airspace, and you go down to the bottom, you'll have three tfachim till you reach this, you know, this shoresh. So that the shoresh on the one end is on ground level, but on the other hand, it's above ground level by three tfachim. And therefore, you're not allowed to benefit from this, from this root, not to sit on it, not to climb on it, not to place something on it or put his elbows on it in order to, you know, stand, you know, to project himself. You cannot use the b'kitzur. You can't use this root. It's got a status of an eel. Then the Braisa continues and says, "V'lo yala be'ilam mibodyom." V'yeshev sham kalayom kula. Let's say he wants to go up to the tree, climb up to the branches of the tree before Shabbos, that's okay. And he's going to sit there on the ilan for the entire day. So on Shabbos, he's like frozen. He's status quo. He's in a state of total passivity. He's not using the ilan in any active sense, but yet, if he wants to get off the Elon and climb down to the ground, then in effect he is using the Elon he says afal pisha eda vishtamish b'ilon b'shabas b'aliyoso, but nevertheless he's using this Elon b'yeshivaso, in that passive state of sitting on the tree, on the branch of the tree. And all that is asur, and it doesn't matter whether it's echad be'ilon ve'echad be'kol behem. There's the mission in Beitza, at the end of the Beitza, Elohim Yishum Shvus, prohibits using the ilon and also benefiting from an animal. We don't ride animals on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Aval bar siach uma'ara ve'goder, mitapes v'ola mitapes v'yored afilu mea am, afilu hein mea am. In other words, the Gzeiras Chachamim, that Shvus, was limited to the case of an Elon, and also an animal, but we're talking about an Elon. And it doesn't apply neither to a bar, which is some sort of round subterranean ditch, or a siach, which is long and narrow, or ma'ara, which has a roof over it, or a gader, some sort of a fence. In all these cases, if he wants to climb up or down, there's no isur. This was never included in the Shvus Dirabbanan. Rashi says that this bar that we're talking about is Bein Sheyesh Bahem Mayim, Bein Sheein Bahem Mayim. It doesn't matter whether it has water in it or not. Mutar Af Sheein Bazet Sorech Gomer Kishtiyah. Now, don't think, says Rashi, that they allowed you to use this bar because otherwise you have no access to the water, to drink the water in the bar. Even if there's no water in the bar, you're allowed to climb down the bar. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says you're only allowed to climb into a bar on Shabbos if you have a tzorech gomur. There are other Rishonim that differentiate between climbing down the bar. He says, "Umikomakom lo itiru letapes bebar el letzorech." In other words, climbing up and down this bar is only permitted letzorech, and that's because of what we call uvdin dechol. Okay, we'll go on. Now we have a stira between two brisas. Tana Chada, according to one brisa, and this is the part of the sugya that I told you is very exciting. According to brisa number one, Im Allah, if he climbed up the Ilan, Mutal Lerit, he's allowed to climb down on Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, he climbed up the tree, and now on Shabbos, we're going to allow him to climb down. Tani Chada, second brisa teaches us Asul Lerit. In other words, even the descent from the tree is also considered use of the tree, right? He needs to propel himself from the branch that he's sitting on in order to get down from the tree. So he used the tree on the way up, and that's what he did to propel himself and sit on the branches of the tree. And now on his way down, he's also propelling himself, so to speak, off the branch. That's also considered a shimush. Lo kasha, we can reconcile these two brises. Kan mi bodyom, kan mi shachashecha. If a person climbs a tree on Erev Shabbos, and he didn't get a chance, for whatever reason, to get down from the tree, and now, lo and behold, it's Shabbos, so he didn't violate any Iser in Aliyah. He really climbed up the tree with full intention to get down from the tree before Shabbos. We're not going to impose any penalty on him. He didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, we're going to allow him to go down. Kan, the second brisa that says it's Asur to go down from the tree. That's a case where he climbed up the tree illegally, violating the law of Shabbos because it was already nightfall. And since he violated an Iser climbing up the tree, then we're going to penalize him and not allow him to go down from the tree. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how he's going to survive it, you know, for an entire 24 hours up on the tree. Ibai is saying another possible way of reconciling these two brises. Hova ha mishach hashecha. He climbed up the tree illegally. In one case, he was unaware of the fact that he was not allowed to climb up the tree. He finds out when he's on the top of the tree that he violated an Issur Shvuster Rabbanan. We're going to allow him, in this case of Shogeg, to climb down from the tree. He's not worthy of a knas. But the second brisa that says it's awesome of him to come down from the tree is when he violated deliberately, and therefore he's worthy of a knas. He was absolutely an intentional violator. Ibai sem a third answer. Hava habishogeg. And the machlokes here between the two tanoim is a very fundamental one, meaning until now we've been trying to reconcile the two brises. Now we're at a turning point where the Gemara wants to say no. There's actually a machlokes between the two brises. Hacha bekansu shogeg atumezid kam miflegi. The brises are divided over the issue of whether or not we institute a penalty in a case of a shogeg, because if we let him get away with the case of a shogeg, tomorrow he's going to do it bemezid, and he's going to tell us that he did it bishogeg. And this is a sugya in Shabbos and in Gittin. And that's a major machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether we apply the principle of kansinon shogeg atu mezid. Rabbi Meir is very machmir, and he says, as a general rule, if he's worthy of a knas in the case of mezid, then we're going to institute that knas even in the case of shogeg. That's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says no. We're not going to impose a knas in the case of a shogeg, an unintentional violator. And this has to do also with Maisa Shabbos. If, let's say, he cooks something b'shogeg on Shabbos, whether we should kansin shogeg or to mezid. Is mar sovra kansinon, umar sovra lo kansinon. So he climbed the tree b'shogeg, according to one brisa. We're going to penalize him. We're not going to let him come down. because of Atu Mezin. Because next Shabbos, he's going to do it by Mezin, and he's going to tell us this whole story that he did it by Shogi. Amar Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua Kitanoi. We can explain the contradiction and the machlokas between these two brisos as to whether someone who climbed a tree on Shabbos is allowed or not allowed to go down from the tree based on a machlokas tanoim, and we'll match them up in the Mishnah in Zvachin. Now, what we have to know in order to understand the Mishnah in Zvachim is that with regard to the halacha of Zrikas Dam al Mizbeach in Karbonos, there's a fundamental difference between Chatos and all the other Karbonos. And that is what's called Matan Arba versus Shtayim Shehin Arba. So I don't see it here in the footnote, but I think it's a difference between Chatos and the other Karbonos. Chatos requires four Matanos on the top half of the Mizbeach. Right, the Mizbeach was divided into two halves with what's called a Chut HaSikra. And in the case of Chatos, we need Zrika on all four corners of the Mizbeach above the Chut HaSikra. But there are other Karbanos that the Karban requires only one Zrika. And that's a Zrika which is called Keneged HaYisod. And we could talk about Ola and Shlomim, and we could talk about Bechar and Maser, Behema. We could talk about Korban Pesach. Now, what do we mean when we say Shtayim Shein Arba? So let's say, for example, you have the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. If the Kohen puts the dam exactly there, then it's as if the dam went both towards the north and towards the south and towards the east of the Mizbeach. And the same thing will be true on the southwestern side of the Mizbeach. So basically, the dam is going to go into on all four sides, but Lamaisa, he only did two Zrikos. That's called Shtayim Shehein Arba. But in the case of Chatos, he needs actual Zrika on all four sides. Now, what happens in a case where the Kohen was very involved with a whole large array of Karbanos, and after the Shechita, he has to be Mekabel the Dam in a Mizrak, right, in a receptacle, and there was a mixture of Dam Chatos with Dam Ola, or Dam Shlomim, whatever it might be. So how does he do the Avodas Matan Domi? So the Mishnah first addresses the simple cases. Hanitonim b'matan achas, matona achas. Shenis arvu b'nitonim b'mata achas. So let's say, for example, he has a mixture of Dam Bechor, which got mixed up with another Bechor, another Dam Bechor, is then it's very simple. Nobody's going to debate that case. He nosnu b'matona achas. All he needs is matona achas. And mimonif shach, his yotze, his chiv zrika of both karbonos. Another case where there's no machlokes is the blood of a matan arba got mixed up with the blood of a matan arba. So let's say he had two chatos, and the dam of one chatos got mixed up with the dam of a second chatos. Is he not saying b'matan arba? He could do the zrikos on all four sides, and he might have shach his yotze, because they're both chatos, they both require matan arba. But where's the machlokes? B'matan arba, b'matan achas. Let's say he has the dam of a chatos that gets mixed up with the dam of bechor, for example, or shlomim, or ola, whatever it might be, which is matan achas. Now, if he'll only do a zrika of matana achas, then the dam of chatos has not been fulfilled, the mitzvah of zrika has not been fulfilled, because it's four or bust, and he only did it on one matana. If, on the other hand, he does four matanos, you might say, well, yesh b'chal masayim mana, what do I care if he does four matanos of the dam of bechor? The answer is that he was mosif ala karbon. And this karbon, again, call it a bechor, whatever you want to call it, has a mitzvah matana achas. He was mosif on the karbon. Now, we have to understand that mosif ala karbon entails a violation of a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud Gimel, Baal Tosif. Whenever the Torah commands you in a mitzvah that's made up of a certain specific number of parts, of segments, then if you try to fulfill that mitzvah with less of the number that you require, that's called Baal Tigra. If, on the other hand, you add more than what the Torah required, that's called Baal Tosif. Now, in this particular scenario of a tarovas of matan arba with matan achas, mi matafshach you're going to violate. If you are zorek four, then you violate a Baal Tosif with regard to the matan achas. If, on the other hand, you do a zrika on one with one matana, then you violate a Baal Tigra with regard to the dam chatas that requires four matanas. So how do we get out of this dilemma? That's the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer omer yinosnu b'matan arba. He has a definite mitzvah, without a question, of matan arba on part of this dam. See, he has no choice but to fulfill that mitzvah. Again, you might ask, well, this dam of the Bechor that only requires matan achas, so therefore he's being over Baal Tosif. But nevertheless, the essay, the mitzvah of Dalid, is going to undermine and neutralize the Iser Baal Tosif. In other words, you can't tell me that he's chayav in matan arba, and at the same time, with that matana on four sides of the Mizbech, he's going to violate Baal Tosif. It's impossible. Because once there's a mitzvah saseh, that completely undermines the lo saseh of Baal Tosif. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, yinosnu b'matana achas. We cannot allow him the extra three matanos. And why is that? Because of two premises, two principles. Principle number one is that even in the case of a matan arba, b'di'eved, yoyotze yochiyuv, and the carbon is still kosher with matana achas. So in this case, we should apply the b'di'eved situation and do and implement only one matana. Why? So here we have to introduce a second principle that underlies the Shita Rabbi Yeshua, and that is that there's no iser of Baal Tosif if he's doing it. I'm sorry. We're up to Rabbi Yeshua now, right? Yinosu matanachas. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds that if he would go beyond one matana, then he definitely violates Baal Tosif by adding three matanos to Dam Bechor. Because since they're all mixed together, the assumption is he's going to be Zorek, four Zrikos, four matanos on the Dam of the Bechor. That's a violation of Baal Tosif. There's Dam Chatos there. So b'di'eved, he'll be Yotze, the mitzvah of Zrika of Dam Chatos with one matana. Amalo Ravel, this is a very interesting dialogue here, where each one says to the other one exactly what the other one says to this one. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Yeshua and he says, how can you tell me that he's going to be Yotze with one matana? Hareu over al Baltigra. He's reducing, diminishing the four matanos that the Dam Chatas requires. How can he violate Bal Tigra with one matana? Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says to Rav Elezer, and you're in better shape? You're going to require four matanos. How are you over Bal Tosif? Vis-a-vis the Dam Bechar, you're violating Bal Tosif. So you're telling me that vis-a-vis the Dam Chatas, I'm violating Bal Tigra. Well, Shkaya, so you're going to violate Bal Tosif by doing four matanos. Like, you know, give it a break. What did you gain over here? Amar Rav Eliezer, lo amru elek shehu bi'atzmo. When is there a violation of Bal Tosif? That's if you have pure, unadulterated dam bechar, which requires one maton, and instead you did four matonas. But if it's a dam taroves, and in this mixture you have dam chatos, which requires four matonos, then there's no violation of Bal Tosif, because the Torah is requiring you, in as much as there's dam chatos in this mixture, four matonos. And the Torah is not going to say, well, you're required to do four matonos to be yotzei the dam chatos, and you're going to violate Bal Tosif vis-a-vis the dam bechar. Amalei Rav Yeshua, big shot. Are you a smart aleck? Lo nemar bal tigra elek shu b'yatzma. I'm going to apply the same logic. You're telling me, Rabbi Eliezer, that how could I do four matana? How could I do one matana? Vis-a-vis the dam chatos, I'm going to violate bal tigra. The answer is, well, I'm going to use your same logic. If all we had in this mizrak was dam chatos and enochinami to do one zrika would be a violation of bal tigra. But don't tell me, in a case of a taroves, that by implementing one nesina, matona achas, I am going to violate Bal Tigra. That doesn't make any sense. Because vis-a-vis the dam bechar, that's all I'm meant to be zorek, is one matona, and that's it. So at this point, before we get to the next line, it's an absolute stalemate. Flip a coin, as I said before. How are you going to navigate out of this problem? Four matonas will be Bal Tosif vis-a-vis Dam Bechor. One maton will be Bal Tigra vis-a-vis Dam Chatos. Rack your brains. Figure it out. It's a no-win situation. Again, you could say it's on the contrary, it's a win-win situation. Why? Because there's no Bal Tigra in the case of a taroves, because the Bechor requires me one matona no more. You could say there's no Bal Tosif vis-a-vis the Bechor when he does four matonas, because the Dam Chatos requires of me, and there's Dam Chatos in the taroves for four matonas. But as to which direction we should go, I don't have a clue. So now we get to the Makabe Patish of this sugya. V'od Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says, I'm going to tip the scale here. I'm going to give you the guideline to decide which of the two possibilities, which of these two avenues you should approach. Kishen Asata, if we're going to do it your way, Rabbi Eliezer, and we're going to implement four matanos, it's not just the problem of Bal Tosif vis-a-vis the Dam Bechor, but it's Asisa Maisa Biodecha. Once you get past the first Matana and you add the second, the third, and the fourth, you are actively violating Bal Tosif. However, Kishalona Sata, if you follow my recommendation and you implement only one single Matana, Avartal Bal Tigra, yes, your claim, Rabbi Eliezer, is correct, because vis-a-vis the Dam Chatos, you diminished it, but lo asiso maisa biyodecho. You didn't actively violate Bal Tigra. Your Bal Tigra was violated in a passive way by not continuing to the second Nesina and the third and the fourth. That's already b'shevi altas. So when you're in a no-win situation, because no matter what you do, you have violated one Isser or the other, so go flip a coin, which Isser is more... There's no way of determining which Isser is more strict or a more severe Isser than the other. So the guideline should be Shevi Altas. And I find this shita and this logic of Rabbi Yeshua very fascinating. Because it really opens up a new vista to one of the most famous sugyas in Shas, which is called the sugya of Yeharig Val Yavar in the case of Gili Arayos. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Daled makes the following distinction between a Boel and an Ivelis. So case number one is where they force a man to violate Gili Arayos with a woman at the pain of death. If he refuses, they'll knock his block off. And the second scenario is where they force a woman, a married woman, to submit herself to Gili Arayos at the pain of death. And the Gemara makes the following distinction, that as far as the man is concerned, he has to give up his life. As far as the woman is concerned, and the Gemara gives the case of Esther, assuming she was married to Mordechai. And now Achashverosh, is the Gemara says that's Karka Olam. And she's allowed to submit herself to this Gili Arayos because it's Karka Olam. And basically you're in a no-win situation here because the Torah says V'chai Bohem, but now we have a violation of Gili Arayos. So what do you do if you put these two on a scale? You've got on one side of the scale the no-no of Gili Arayos. On the other side of the scale, you have Pikuach Nefesh. Which is more important in the eyes of the Almighty? The violation of Gili Arayos or giving up a life? And the flip side is preserving life. So based on this Rabbi Yoshua, it seems to me that in the case where you have an equilibrium and two sides of the scale just simply match each other, then the way to go is Shevi Altas. And if I remember correctly, the Meiri in Masechta Sanhedrin says that if they force the woman at gunpoint to position herself for the Gili Arayos, then she has to give up her life as well. The case is where she's laying in a bed and they give her a choice of either getting off the bed and they'll kill her or remaining on the bed and submitting herself, and here I want to add a word, passively to Gili Arayos. The latter is mutter. And that's the case of Esther. So in a no-win situation, we apply the principle of Shevi Altas, and one should be passive. Now, at this point in the sugya, we have to bridge the following gap. We have a machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer and Zvachim in the case of a taroves of one matano with four matanos. And we have a discussion about someone who's on a tree on Shabbos, and should he be allowed to get off the tree? And we had a contradiction between two brises. One brise allowed him to climb down the tree, and the other brise says, my friend, you're going to sit there on the branch of the tree for the whole Shabbos. What's the connection now? Or shall we say the interdependence of these two controversies? One controversy about one brisa versus the other about getting down from the tree, and one controversy about the case of a mixture of dam chatas with dam bechor. So the Gemara says the following: Li Rabbi Eliezer diomar hasam kum vasei adif. Rabbi Eliezer, who gives more adifus, more koach, to kum vase, and therefore you should be zorek the dam on four, with four matanos. Hachinami here also, in the case of someone who climbed up a tree, we're going to tell him, we're going to instruct him, kum vase, do this maisa mitzvah, and get off the tree. Now, again, what makes it a ma'aseh mitzvah to get off the tree? The answer is that every moment that he remains sitting on the tree, he's being mishtamish, he's benefiting from the tree. So the Torah, in effect, is commanding him to get off the tree. And even though by doing so, he's benefiting from the tree, because as we discussed earlier, the Yerida itself is called Ishtamshus in the tree, nevertheless, we should go down that path, because Rabbi Eliezer says that Kumva Sei Odif, that you should be Zorek the Dam on four sides, and be Mekayim four Matonos, because of the mitzvah of Dam Chatas. Even though by doing so, he's violating Baltosev vis-a-vis the Dam Bechar that's in this mixture. But Rabbi Yeshua, the Omer Hasam, Shevi Al Taseh Odif, Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, is the proponent of being totally passive in a case where you're in a no-win situation. Achinami, here too, lo yered. You're in a no-win situation. Why? Because if you remain on the tree, then you're enjoying the benefit of the tree by sitting on it for the entire balance of Shabbos. If on the other hand you jump off the tree, then you're benefiting from the tree because it projects you down in your Yerida, and you're benefiting from the tree through Yerida, is therefore in that no-win situation, lo yered. He should not go down. Now, I would like to make the following comment. The Gemara of Rabbi Yeshua, I understand very well. What we call in modern Hebrew the tlut, right? The interdependence of not getting down from the tree with not being Zorek, the extra three matanos of Rabbi Yeshua in Zvachim and Tarovus. That I understand. I'm a little bit more challenged to try to understand the tlut in Rabbi Eliezer's frame of reference. Because the Gemara calls it Kumva Sei Odif. Yeah, when does Rabbi Eliezer become the proponent of Kumva Sei? That's in the case of a mitzvah, namely the Dam Chatas generates an obligation of four matanos. In order to justify the bridge, the analogy to the case of Yered, of the active Yerida from the Elon on Shabbos, we're going to have to assume that that's also a Kumva Sei Odif, in order to terminate his status of sitting on the tree. Wait a second. I don't get it. This is where I'm challenged. Are you going to tell me that every moment he's violating the Iser of Hishtamshus? I mean, the halacha, the Shvus requires that he shouldn't climb up a tree and sit on the tree. Fine. Give him, patch, for 39 malchus for climbing up on the tree. But now he remains sitting on the tree, and Rabbi Eliezer, according to the way the Gemara formulates it, has a mitzvah to get off the tree. Why do I have a mitzvah to get off the tree? So for this, I'd like to, again, if you don't mind being my guinea pig here, I would like to bounce off you a sugya in Masechta Makis. The Gemara in Makis wants to know about a nazir that goes into a Beis HaKvaros, which he's not allowed to do, and he remains in the Beis HaKvaros. How many sets of malchus does he get? Well, you and I would have said intuitively, he gets one set of malchus for going into the Beis HaKvaros. The Gemara says, nah. We're going to give him asra, multiple asros. After the first asra, get yourself out of the Beis HaKvaros. He remains adamant and refuses to implement the Hasra. We'll give him a second Hasra. We'll give him a third Hasra. Every 5 minutes, we're going to give him Hasra. And he refuses to exit from the Beis HaKvaros. He'll get a separate set of malchus for every Hasra. which means that he's violated the Iser of entering into Beis HaKvaros multiple times. I don't get it. I only saw him go in once. And you see a gewaldige chiddush here, that the Gemara in Makkos is assuming that non-yitziah, which again is a passive non-yitziah, if you follow what I mean, he remains in the Beis HaKvaros and he doesn't exit, that's considered a violation of the law of Nazir entering into the Beis HaKvaros, but I don't get it. He didn't enter into the Beis. He did enter the Beis HaKvaros once. And the answer is that every time he remains in the Beis HaKvaros, the halacha considers it as if he entered into the Beis HaKvaros. The original Maisa continues for the balance of the time that he remains in the Beis HaKvaros. And by analogy, in the case of a person who's sitting on a tree on Shabbos, the continuous state of sitting on the tree is like a new violation of taking the shtamshus and actively grabbing the yeshiva on the tree, setting up the yeshiva on the tree. Just like entering into the Beis HaKvaros is a continuous maisa because he refuses to undo and terminate that situation. So it's amazing, you know, in Hebrew we differentiate between maisa and matzav, between an action and a situation that results from the action. But in our context, it's not a clear-cut distinction, because even a matzav could be considered a maisa. If the matzav was a result of the original maisa, then that maisa continues as long as the matzav continues and he doesn't change it. He doesn't do anything active to undo it. That's considered as if he's repeatedly repeating the action time and time again. Therefore, the Gemara is justified as for saying that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we have a choice here of a mitzvah getting off the tree, because otherwise if he remains on the tree, it's like he's getting on the tree and benefiting from the tree, as opposed to the Shevi Al Tasev Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara says, Dilma Lohi, maybe it's not a fair tlut, a matching. And the law of Ola B'Ilon does not depend upon the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Eliezer, awesome. When does Rabbi Eliezer say in the case of a taruvas of dam karbonos that he should be zorek all four sides? That's maisa bekumvase odif. That's considered an iser that he is going to violate for the sake of a kumvase, for the sake of a mitzvah, an active mitzvah of Zrika. The Torah commands the Kohen to be Zorek, the Dam of Achatos, for Matanos. So if he's doing it for the sake of the four Matanos, to be Mekayim his mitzvah, then that's Adif. That's greater than the violation of the Iser of Baltosiv vis-a-vis the Dam Bechor. Ela, Dika Ovid mitzvah. That's where Rabbi Eliezer says Kuvaseh is Adif, because that Kuvaseh is his obligation. And that's the mitzvah that he's obligated in. Forget about Baltos. Aval Hachadalo Ovid mitzvah. You can tell me that he's being Poresh from an Iser, as we said before, because as he's sitting continuously on the branch of the tree, he is violating the Iser of Ishtamshus B'ilon on a constant basis, but there's no mitzvah to get off the tree. You know, he's not going to get brownie points and schar mitzvah for getting off the tree. Is hachinami lo yered? Is it possible that Rabbi Eliezer would agree here in this case? Shelo yered. In other words, we don't want him to jump off the tree because in doing so, he's going to actively violate the Iser of Ishtamshus B'ilon. So even Rabbi Eliezer would agree in this case that he should remain passive and sit on the tree for the rest of Shabbos, because otherwise he's going to be actively violating an Iser of Ishtamshus B'ilon. And Rabbi Eliezer fundamentally agrees to the principle of Rabbi Yoshua that it's better in the two-choice situation to be passive about not violating an Iser. So even though by remaining on the tree he will violate the Iser, but nevertheless he's doing it passively, that's a lot better than telling him to jump off the tree, which is an active violation of the Iser. Where does Rabbi Eliezer prefer a kumvase? That's only if that kumvase is a maisa mitzvah. He's obligated in that kumvase. And now the flip side, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yoshua Hossam. Where does Rabbi Yoshua say that? Shevi Alta says, Adif Ella. Here we turn to Amid Beis. Ella deloka avidi sura. Which means that if he does a zrika of one matana, then that's not a maisa isur. He's definitely obligated in one matana. And he would be, Rabbi Yoshua would be opposed to allowing you to be zorik the other three matanas, because that would be an active violation of Baal Tosif. And in this case, by remaining passive vis-a-vis the balance of the other three matanos, he violates Baal Tigra passively. In other words, vis-a-vis the Karban Chatos, the Dam Chatos, he has not done the Zrika on the other three. That's a Baal Tigra in a passive state. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua advocates that he should only be Zorik one Matana, because despite the fact that there will be a violation of Baal Tigra vis-a-vis the Dam Chatos, but it's only passive. Aval Hoch, but here in the case of the Elon, Rabbi Yoshua could agree that he should jump off the tree. Why? The lo avid isura is hachinami diyerid. In other words, Rabbi Yoshua defines the continuous sitting on the branch of the tree as lo ka avid isura. Okay. Lo kavod isura. I'll read to you the language of the Rashba. The Rashba says, Lo itiru yiridaso mishum shekol zman sheyoshev sham nimtza shu mishtamesh b'mechubar im kein einze elik sheodom atzmo ola be'ilon. Oh, okay, this is something else. So one second, let me just, in the Hava meeting, the Gemara thought that Rabbi Yoshua advocates passivity. That's why he doesn't allow us to add the other three matanos. Here too, in the case of Yoshev al ha-Elon, Rabbi Yoshua is going to advocate passivity, remain sitting on the Elon. Because if you jump off the Elon, you'll be actively violating Mishtah Shtamshus B'Elon. Oh, the Gemara says no. Even Rabbi Yeshua would agree, perhaps, that he should get off the Elon. Why? Because in the case of Dam, Rabbi Yeshua advocates Shevi Al Taseh as a method of reducing, I'm looking for a better word than reducing, but of mitigating the violation of Baal Tosif. What mitigates Baal Tosif? Shevi Al Taseh. So in effect, the Shevi Al Taseh removes the Baal Tosif. Whereas if he would actively add the three extra matanos, he would be violating Baal Tosif b'kumvase. So Rabbi Yeshua advocates to be passive. And in so doing, he circumvents the violation of Baal Tosef. It's not Baal Tosef, because he is just simply fulfilling his mitzvah of Dam Bechor, of Matona Achas, and we cannot consider him liable for violating Baal Tosef, I'm sorry, for violating Baal Tigra, I should have said, vis-a-vis the Dam Chatos, because he shevi al tasa on the Baal Tigra. So Rabbi Yeshua is organizing it in a way that he shouldn't be violating the law. But here, if you're going to tell him to remain passive on the tree, you haven't really solved your problem, because he's continuously violating the Isa Veshtamshus Be'ilon by continuing his yeshiva, like we said before, in the case of the Nozer, that he doesn't get out of the Beis HaKvaros. So the Gemara's language is al hachadika avidi sura. So again, in the case of passivity in Zrika, Rabbi Yeshua is going to use the Shevi Altaseh argument or logic in order to completely circumvent the violation of Baal Tigra. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer is yelling and screaming, how could you ignore the Dam Chatos in this Taroves, which requires four matonos? You are violating Baal Tigra vis-a-vis the additional three matonos that you're obligated in. So Rabbi Yeshua answers, I'm not worried about Baal Tigra. I'm worried about Baal Tosef. I don't have to be worried about Baal Tigra because Taloch is Shevi Altas. And once Taloch is Shevi Altas, based on that rule of Shevi Altas Odiv, Rabbi Yeshua is going to completely circumvent the violation of Baal Tigra. That doesn't apply here in the case of Yeshiva Al Gabi Ha'ilon, because the given, and that's unquestionable, is that Yeshiva Al Gabi Ha'ilon is a continuous violation of the Isur. And that's all we're dealing with here. We don't have any tarovas that will allow me to say, well, you know, because he's bound by the one matana limit vis-a-vis the Dam Bechor, therefore it's not considered Baal Tigra vis-a-vis the Dam Chatos. That's a case of a clash of two Isurim. Here, we're talking about a case where there's only one Isur. One simple Isur of a Shvus of benefiting from the Ilan. So what's better? To jump off the Ilan and violate this Isur once, or to remain passive on the Ilan, and every single moment that passes by of Shabbos, you are violating the Isur of Hishtamshus. This is not a case where Shevi Altas is going to help you. Even Rabbi Yeshua is going to advocate in favor of jumping off the Ilan to terminate this continuous Avera of remaining, of sitting on the Ilan. And even if your violation is B'Shevi Altas, but nevertheless it's a continuous violation. So let's terminate this violation and get off the Ilan. Ah, you'll tell me it's kumvaseh. Well, better to do this one kumvaseh than to be in violation of a constant shevi altas. Let's see if we could add another note here with regard to Rabbi Yeshua. And he says, Afshikvar Omar Rabbi Yeshuli El She'enkan Klal Baal Tigra. And the reason why there's no Baal Tigra here is because he is simply avoiding Baal Tosef. Ein Baal Tigra El Shehu Bi'atzmo, meaning if he only had Dam Chatos in the Mizrak. Mikol Mekom Hosef Hatam She'en Ose Maisa Bi'odayim. He adds another reasoning here, that the reason why there's no Baal Tigra is because he's just simply being passive. So vis-a-vis the Dam Chatos is no Baal Tigra, because he's just simply not adding the extra three Zrikos. V'kach hi kavanoso, And this is what Rabbi Yeshua means to add over here. Shafilu im nomar sheyesh bal tosif ubal tigrak shehu ma'urav. Even if you'll say that there is an overlap of two violations in the case of Tarovus, but odif lavar below maisa mi lavar al yidei maisa. And that's the way the Tosa Rush understood Rabbi Yeshua. He quotes here the Sfas Emes, who adds another element into the equation. And he says the following, that Rabbi Yeshua cholek al tainas Rabbi Eliezer, she'omar af baltosif eno elik shehu bi'atzmo. Rabbi Eliezer's argument was that there's no baltosif in the case where he has dam chatos in the tarovis. If all he had was dam bechor, that would be baltosif. But here he has dam chatos in the mixture. And Rabbi Yeshua rejects this argument of Rabbi Eliezer. V'sover she'ein shnei halavim shovim bozeh. That we should not equate the lav of baltosif with the lav of baltigra. She'kol she'bal tosif yesh bein k'shu bi'atzmo bein shenis arv. In other words, despite the fact that he has dam chatos in the mixture, there still would be a violation of baltosif, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if he goes beyond one zrika. Baltigra, on the other hand, yesh rak k'shehu bi'atzmo. But Baltigra would only apply if he had dam chatos and only dam chatos, and he did only one matana. Vosofas vi'od, and that which Rabbi Yeshua has quoted adds the vi'od, hu siyum hadvarim, the hezbir madua cholek olav, v'haynu mishum she'isur baltosif hu isur v'kumvasei, v'ein lanu lasos isur v'yadayim, binisinam v'atona achas, ulahosif bohem. So he'll actively violate baltosif by adding the extra three zrikos, and his dam b'chor here. Afsha osa b'shvil matan dam shel korban achim, even though he's doing it for the sake of dam chatos. Aval baltigra, she'eno osa iser b'yodayim, el b'meshe nimna milasos es ha-mitzvah. In other words, he's prevented from doing the mitzvah of being zorek for full matanos. So he's violating Baltigra, but it's only because of sort of like a less brera, because he has no choice in the sense that he cannot violate Baltosa vis-a-vis the dam Bechar. Is Bazei Yishvar Lomar Shekasher Nimna Mea Mitzvah Kidei Shelo Litein Matana Nosefes LeKorban Acher Eino Over. In other words, it's not that he violates the mitzvah of Dalid Matanos for Chatos. He's really just simply avoiding a Baltosif B'kumvasei vis-a-vis the Dam Bechor. And he summarizes this by saying that Nimtza Sherabi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Nechleku B'kamasvaris Ikar Machlokosan he. And that's Rashi and Asugi, the Taimo Shel Rabbi Eliezer, who Sha'asa Sha'ese Shel Baltosif Doche Losa Sesha Baltigra. Kichol Ese Shedoche Lotas. So Rabbi Eliezer has the Ese, and that's Doche the Losas. Rabbi Yeshua Lo Shaykan Ese Doche Losas. Kimosh's Bayer, and that's Rabbi Yeshua. Now we can add that Lidivrei Rabbi Yeshua Shnei Ha'isurim Lefanenu V'ein Bi'echad Koch Lidchos Chavero V'ezeman Yadif, and Rabbi Eliezer Yesh Lo Lasos B'ofen Shlo Yigra Me'am Mitzvos Af She'yavar Al Baltosif Kevan She'ein Chomer Kichol Baltosif. Okay, then, this is where we're going to stop for today. And and we're up to Kuf Amid Beis, the second line, Tani Chad.